Here's how you become a savings catcher, diva, or don. Step 1, download the Walmart app and use the savings catcher. Step 2, enter your Walmart receipt. Step 3, savings catcher compares prices of eligible items at Walmart. Step 4, if it finds a lower advertised price by a leading store in your area, it will give you the difference on an e-gift card in a few days. Step 5, do a two-step. You're in. Saving money and every penny counts. Save with savings catcher from Walmart. Comparison on eligible products only. Restrictions apply. Visit walmart.com/savings catcher for details.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, Strain fans! Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This is my jam right here. Welcome to the Strain After Show, Season 2, Episode 7.
Season 1, Episode 7.
For services rendered. I'm looking at the board. It says Season 2. I don't know why. I'm Matt Lieberman. And the panel's all here. Welcome, welcome.
Is that foretelling?
Is that foretelling of renewal that got announced in the last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Matt Lieberman will read anything we write on the board.
Nope, I'm not. I'm not Ron Burgundy. I am not Ron Burgundy. Panel's all here. Zach Wilson's here.
Hey, guys.
Jackie Borowski's here.
Holla.
And Stephen Lemieux's here in his brand new glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're watching the video, you can see that.
They won't save you, Stephen.
Yeah.
I'm corrupted.
So, some major developments this week. We got even more of the Satrakian backstory. We finally got F. And Nora, you know, active.
F and Nora
with guns in the subway. Jim was not entirely bad this week. And we got freaking daywalkers. I know they're not necessarily daywalkers, but I'm calling them daywalkers until they're proven otherwise.
I agree with
simply
that.
Because they fight other vampires.
Can we call them ninja daywalkers?
I mean, technically they're not daywalkers because they wear all black clothing to walk around.
Technically it's Umbrella Corporation. I was watching this with a friend, and it's just every time something would happen, he's like, "So this is like Resident Evil," and I'm like,
and
"No,
like,
they have
no.
Like worms," and he's like, "No, it's like Resident Evil 4." But no, those guys are dressed up and they're killing other men, so it's like Resident Evil 4.
No, it's not Resident Evil. It's the Strain.
This is like when Spike wore the cloak and ran into Buffy's house.
Exactly.
To get away from the sun.
Guys, but when he blacked out his car so that he could drive.
Yeah,
I know we're jumping ahead, but that guy at the end, his voice, is he the Sorting Hat from Harry Potter?
No. I don't know. I couldn't tell you either way. I don't think so.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
They're wearing all black.
Okay.
Shouldn't they, if they have to block out sunlight, be wearing all white?
You know, I would say that too, but then again, like...
Then they wouldn't look like the Cobra
Commander. They wouldn't be super cool, and they wouldn't be daywalkers like Blade. Okay? We're going to get to them because of the implications of it at the very end. But I want to just start at the beginning. We've met Mr. Luss, at least for like a hot moment.
Was that Chief?
Yeah, it was the Chief from Battlestar Galactica.
Why did Mr. Luss have to stop for a drink before going home?
Because look at his life. He and his wife are stuck in a loveless marriage. They live in Yonkers in this big, cold house.
Yonkers.
Of course he's stopping for a drink.
His wife is literally a blood-sucking fiend.
Yes, literally. Not just a figurative blood-sucking fiend.
She's a succubus in so many ways.
Is she a succubus, though? She's not draining men of their sexual energy in order to survive.
Where that tongue went. They cut away.
Okay, we're not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But let's talk about this cab driver.
What about a 4-foot tongue?
Stop it. 6-foot frog tongue.
It's a stinger.
Yeah, it's
a
stinger.
I'm making a face.
Okay.
It's a no face.
This cab driver is the biggest idiot in the world.
Like, are you serious?
Drive. Look at these crazy people. Drive. We're in a car. It's locked. Their tongues aren't puncturing the glass. Why would you get out of the car, no matter how big your gun is, no matter how many bullets you have? have. Drive away.
They outnumber him, and that was the other thing that bothered me. It's like, mm-hmm. if you can see, he was looking around and he saw that there was more than one person coming up on the car.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way in your right mind you would think with this gun I will be able to take out all the people around me when I have a moving vehicle to remove me from this situation.
His fight or flight instinct kicked in the wrong way. It's flight, man. The right answer is flight.
At least he knew to go for the head, though.
Fair. But fair-ish, but he still died. He still,
Remember how, like, the last time I was on the show, I was saying that everybody so far has been smart in most of these situations. Mm-hmm. I take it all back.
Yeah. Idiot.
This is that one moment where I was like, for the first time on the show, someone has acted in the most idiotic way possible.
But not an unrealistic way.
Right.
But it takes more effort to open the car door and shoot the guy in the head than it does to just drive forward.
Yeah, but he's messing with his taxi, man. You don't mess with a man's taxi when he's got a freaking pistol.
He just doesn't want to drive Mr. Luss anywhere without cash. He just doesn't want to turn on the car because technically he still hasn't paid him for the first ride.
And his credit machine is broken.
Well, it's because the internet's out. All the cell towers are out. Everything's out.
That's the first time that was a true statement in a cab.
It's true. So he goes inside and finds his lovely wife, who is now a monster.
Yeah.
We later see him all gross, but not necessarily a Strigoi yet.
No, I don't think so. But she... what's interesting to me about her is she looks like she's going to vomit when her tongue comes out.
Mm.
I don't feel like the other ones have looked like that.
Yeah. She looks like she's going to hurl.
She's hurling her tongue.
Hmm. Interesting.
And she also moved differently than we've seen any Strigoi.
Weird crab spider.
It looked like something out of, like, Dominion or Legion.
Right.
That, like, crawling along the ground.
Well, I mean, now we'll never know for sure what she was because she was wiped out by a pack of daywalkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got more of Satrakian's backstory this week, his relationship with Eichhorst in the concentration camp. And we start in the woodworking shop that he kind of bluffed his way into. And it's interesting because, you know, in the last episode that we saw this stuff, he said, you know, I've only been an apprentice for a few weeks. But then in this episode, he's a master carpenter.
I thought it was his friend who said he's only been an apprentice.
Yeah, that's
how he
knew. Okay. Friend, yeah.
Okay. Well, he's a master carpenter. He made this hand of Miriam from the wood that the Germans so lovingly provided that we gave you from our own trees.
Except for they're in Poland, so they're really just stealing it.
They're really just stealing
my office
wood.
Smells of rich German mahogany.
There is no mahogany trees in Germany, I don't think. This is so demeaning to German people. I don't know why
but
we
I'm
keep
German,
going
so okay.
to this well.
They
All right, fine.
Hey.
Well, I'm a quarter German. It's fine. And I'm Jewish, so it's double fine. We're okay. So
awkward.
Yeah. So he's like, listen, someone's going to tell me who made this thing, or I'm going to start killing you one by one. Shoots a dude in the head, and he's about to shoot another one. When Abraham's like, fine, I did it. Fearing the worst, but instead he gets a special project. And we learn that Abraham Satrakian is the one who built the coffin, which explains why he knew it so well when he was asking F about it episodes and episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like this twist. Yeah, I like that.
I like it too, especially because, you know, he's got some level of guilt here. In his small way, he is responsible for the master's continued health. We still don't know how his situation in this concentration camp resolved itself. We don't know how he escaped. We don't know how he got the sword.
We don't know what the coffin really does, though, too. We don't know if it really does anything at all.
Doesn't it keep the master safe? I feel like it's how he gets from place to place.
I feel like because there was a mention of how the Hand of Miriam was a protection from evil, mm-hmm. I feel like whatever the intricate things he was carving on it, I feel like whatever those are something, signs that protect
evil from good.
Yeah, or something like that.
I have to wonder if he did something to the coffin, like a little slyly, like made a change or something, if he understood it enough to do that, like put like silver lining in it or something. I don't know that he could have done that, but it reminds me, because you hear the stories of Jews who are working in ammunition camps, like yeah. making bullets, and would sabotage them.
Well,
like
he
sabotage
does keep
every
looking
tenth
at the silver in the episode.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that he does something to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just hasn't done it yet.
It's possible. He grabbed a silver knife, but I feel like that's the only silver he's gotten so far. I think.
But well, he was looking at that box of, like, it was a silver tea set, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like he was contemplating something.
Yeah. I don't know that he's connected yet, necessarily, that this is the Strigoi that his grandmother told him about when he was 8. But I imagine that revelation is going to come very soon. So Ikors takes a shine to him, this guy who is so talented.
But it's like a pet. It's not like a...
It's like
shine.
Taunting him, and we get this very weird scene where
I keep thinking that he's going to pee on him. It was such a weird angle.
Well, there's another one before he comes in drunk. There was another one where he's like basically he's trying to get him to admit that he's happy where he is,
mm-hmm.
And is like also I think just kind of baiting him into saying the wrong thing, where he's just sort of like, you're so talented and I'm not. Come on, say something, say anything, give me one reason to take this away from you. Just kind of reminding him how powerless he is in the face of Tomas Eichhorst.
Even putting that gun.
Yeah.
Giving him the straight up just opportunity.
Was that in this scene or was that in the, no, that was in the Brandy scene.
That was in the Brandy scene.
But he's good at managing people. Yeah. And it's sort of, it kind of really shows you where his character lies and what the master has been using him for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows.
He's HR.
He's so in control of.
He's terrible.
He's Strigoi HR.
He's like Catbert, yes. But,
yes. Good reference.
What's Crispin's brother's name? I always forget.
Felix.
Crispin is Gus's brother.
Gus, yeah. So it's like the way he's managing Gus, the way he's managing Jim, the tactics he uses against people are so unethical, plus with his time back in, not Dachau, but, you know, it's the concentration camp.
Mm-hmm. Which one are they? They're in Auschwitz?
I don't know which one specifically. I don't think they said. I guess out of respect to people who actually
makes
were
sense.
In concentration
yeah.
camps. So we have the second scene that's very, very weirdly charged, where in the middle of the night, as Abraham's still working, Ikors comes in drunk on brandy.
And we know that this is 1944, so mm-hmm. it's towards the end of the war, and I feel like Ikors knows it's ending, which is why he's mm-hmm. kind of a mess when he comes in.
Yeah, we're mere months away.
There's Russian bombing mm-hmm. outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he comes in drunk to hang out with his pet, his, like, pet kitty. He gives this very impassioned and, in his mind, very reasonable argument for why the Third Reich happened. And it reminds us, in a perverse way, that Hitler got his power from the people. The people gave their power away. And then, I mean, ultimately, Hitler then sought to use it to far more grand ambitions than anyone could have expected, I imagine. But it's something that I hadn't thought about since high school history, the fact that people gave their choice away. And, you know, someone like Hitler or someone like the master is able to step in and is able to use that vacuum to make their ambitions realized.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting juxtaposition with, we have the guy of Stoneheart.
Mm-hmm.
He from his greed, he's giving away the people of the city. We have the hacker girl who, for her greed, she's giving away the people. For what they want, they're giving away, they're putting somebody else in a place of power, and they're going to take advantage of that. And then we're going to get everything going to hell because of these people's decisions for their own personal gain.
Yeah, there's definitely a juxtaposition there. I wouldn't say it's equal necessarily to people giving up their freedom. I mean, Eldridge, I imagine, for his part, thinks that he's going to be a big part of this new order. He's trying to become a Strigoi.
I think it's more of people in a vulnerable position giving mm-hmm. up their power, and I think that's the comparison to what they're having between the master, who Ikors thinks of as the new version of the Third Reich,
right.
The new
the Fourth
regime,
Reich.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the actual Third Reich, where the people of Germany were in a vulnerable place, and when Hitler came in, the reason he was he was more successful than perhaps he would have been in a different time is that the people were so vulnerable at that time. And mm-hmm. so you also have in this city, you have, the rich guy. What was his name again?
Eldridge.
Mm-hmm. Eldridge is just had like a liver transplant. He's in a very vulnerable position mm-hmm. as was, Jim Kent when they came to him. So they're using people in a vulnerable position and that's where they get their power from.
Agreed. So yeah, they have this like weird scene where basically he's trying to get Abe riled up and he's trying to basically get him to realize that he is in his own way complicit in his imprisonment. Namely that, you know, he did have a choice. If he didn't want to be a prisoner, he could have elected to die, which is like not a choice. It's a non-choice, but he's trying to get him to admit that he's weak, which he's not, obviously. He's a survivor. He did what he had to do to survive. But Eichhorst is just toying with him, and then he puts his gun on the table, and he's like, come on, man, do it. Shoot me. You might be able to get my gun faster than me, and then you can fight your way out of here. Why don't you go down fighting? You're going down either way. Do it. And Abe thinks about it. There's definitely a moment where he almost does, and then he stiffens, and he's like, no. I'm not stupid. I know what's going on here. I'll have my opportunity. I have this knife. He doesn't know about it. And when the moment strikes where I know I can get away, I'm going to be able to do it.
Plus, I have to live long enough to have a nice silver sword.
Yeah. He's going to have a sweet silver sword.
What was with the, like, whipping it out thing?
Oh,
like,
the dick thing?
Yeah, like, I know he was going to, like,
was
urinate
pissing
in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was taking it out, like, on the coffin in his face.
It's a show of disrespect.
It's a show of power. It's like, hey, man, I can take my dick out, and there's nothing you can do about it. And guess what? If you want to live, if I wanted you to do anything with this dick, you would have to do it. It's basically, it's just saying, like, you are so low to me that I can treat this room as if no one is here.
And if you want us to metaphorically take our dicks out, you can help us by going to iTunes.
Please don't do it that way.
Dick.
Wow. I'm going to, after that, dick. I'm going to read the reviews. Thank you very much. Folks, thank you so much to all of you who have rated the show and written reviews on iTunes. It really helps. Every little bit helps us. It's how we get guests. It's how we get sponsors. It keeps our lights on and our doors open. And you get great shout-outs here on the show. Amazing from your weird 5 stars. I'm just doing this to see Matt dance, but an amazing panel nonetheless.
You have to dance, Matt. What was the
right
song he has
did
to
we,
dance
didn't
to?
We get to 50?
We got. We were at 59 right now.
Yeah!
What was the song he has to dance to?
Oh. I don't know. We can figure it out.
Remember.
We'll do it properly next week when I can do it with my full body. You know?
We can do it now if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You have to, like, run back and forth. Between...
For those of you listening on iTunes, we're seeing a lot of Matt's butt right now that we have never formerly seen before.
You're missing something that is both glorious and horrifying in ways that I can't even begin to describe. He's now in a birth position. He's leaving himself open for I don't know what.
Exhausting.
And he's sidling back into his seat. A defeated
man. Oh, it was
man.
Ride It. It's That's what it was, Ride It?
Oh, it was Pony.
Pony.
Oh, yeah. We'll have week. To do it again. We'll have to do it again.
I'm not sure we're ready for that.
5 stars, awesome, from Sadoon. This gang is awesome. Love them, no question. Great show from Supertonus, 5 stars. Thank you for this amazing podcast, guys. Great podcast. J-Mankle? I don't know. 5 stars, entertaining and humorous. Nice job with cast interviews. Great podcast from Black Lannister. 5 stars. After listening to the podcast, I decided to give the show a chance.
Aww.
Someone who led with the podcast first.
Yeah.
The group's cool. Enthusiasm is catchy and adds to my enjoyment of the show.
That's Keep from Laura Lou 0622. Fun for sesquipedalian. You can read it. You can read it.
Sesquipedalianists?
Yeah.
Sesquipedalianists.
First of all, big fan of all the podcasts dissecting the show. The AfterBuzz is certainly, without a doubt, probably one of them. 5 stars.
My favorite one.
Great. 5 stars from Fiction Boy. Love the podcast. Love the show and the podcast. 5 stars from Classic R&B Lover. I'm really enjoying the strain and loving the AfterBuzz podcast. As always, Jackie remains my personal favorite.
Wait, who wrote that?
From Classic R&B Lover.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good discussions from No Need For Me 2. Love listening, but read the books, and it's frustrating to hear you guys come close on certain plot points and then slightly miss the mark. Still real fun to hear.
Oh, which one?
Do I hear a waltz from SGJR1960? 5 stars. Nope, not really. Just a really good, fun podcast, for one of the darkest effing. Shows on right now besides The Leftovers. As always, the way you guys do on the other podcasts, please keep up the great work. Oh, and by the way, if this puts you over the top for the reviews, do I get to make a request for the song you dance to? Because I have a range you can choose from. Bela Lugosi's Dead by Bauhaus. Fitting, no? Or Dead Souls or Burn by Nine Inch Nails. I think I have more dancing in my future.
Yeah. I still want Pony.
Yeah, Pony, I think would still be funny. And, 5 stars from Podcast Pal, my best running partner. Thank you for the podcast. I anxiously await the podcast for my Monday after work run. I appreciate the thoughtful insights, fun dialogue, and the friendship that comes across that you share with each other, as well as your listeners. This is my first AfterBuzz podcast, but will certainly not be the last.
Aww, keep up the good work. We're only pretending
to be friends. Thanks again.
We really don't talk to each other outside of the show.
Is this Bela Lugosi's
this
Dead?
This is Bela Lugosi's
oh.
Dead.
Oh, cool. Like, Bela Lugosi, for those of you who don't know, played Dracula. All right, so we have F, Nora, and Satrakian. We pick up shortly after he's explained his plan the next day. And, like, F is
Where is Nora's mom? Nora's mom,
She's in Satrakian's basement.
She's taking a nap.
She's my new favorite character. I secretly want her to come out with, like, a walker that is made of silver-pointed bottoms and stab people in the face
That would
it.
Be dope.
She was going to go with them, but she forgot.
Yeah.
She has to watch a video every, like, half hour to remember. Like, it's her sitting there telling you have to kill everything. Use the bottom of your walker like a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Like, if they brought her with her, she'd just be on the walkie-talkie like, "Are you coming home?
Where am I? I'm okay.
I made soup.
I hope she makes soup. I want soup."
She'd make it with the heart full of worms.
So Nora, Nora is like, she's like taking it all in, and she asks a question about the silver bullets. We just keep establishing the vampire tropes, and then also establishing that Satrakian has developed his methods over a long period of time. He has used the scientific method to get this stuff correct.
Well, he's freaking old now. He's in his 80s.
80s or 90s. He's not a young man.
He has heart problems.
Yeah. And F is like, you know, like, "Listen, I know that we can't kill him one by one, but we should take this to the public. That's the only way it's way smarter than that silly plan you had of killing the master yesterday.
And they'll all die."
Yeah, and we're just like, F, he knows everything that he said is true. Why are you being...
Why are you being so F and Nora? Yeah, but I want to say, like...
He has an F Nora once.
Not on the show. They're not going to show it. This is an HBO, but
they could show some.
Isn't HBO, but there's a lot of naked Gus.
Lovely. What I was gonna say
I'm stopping now.
The show is really
we'll get into it.
The show is really focusing on the scientific part of it. So, like, the fact that there is no scientific connection that killing the master would kill all the thralls. It's a valid point that Ephraim brings up as a viewer, because we're watching this show from a perspective of some sciences involved. So I don't know. Like, you never kind of know what if that'll even work, if the plan would work. Because obviously Satrakian has not killed a master before.
It's true.
Does he think that Eichhorst is the master?
No.
Mm-hmm. He's seen the master. He watched the master kill all his friends.
Because the master is so fast with the big cloak, and Eichhorst is not.
Exactly. And at the time, he says Eichhorst was still a human. So there's obviously something else killing all of his friends when they're in bed.
I just mean because they go directly after Eichhorst. Like, that's like his plan.
Because they think Eichhorst will lead them to the master.
Yeah.
Because Eichhorst is the only, like, sentient being that follows the master.
Mm-hmm.
Which
know
I want to, I really hope they, I mean, they must be able to explore that in the future to explain why he can retain memory and act like a normal person and
they have to soon
can.
Enough. I mean, at this point in the book, they have not, they hadn't explained it?
I have read the first book.
You've read the first book, and it was not explained.
And it was not explained.
Okay. All right. So it's an answer we might not get this season. We might if they decide to divert from the books a bit.
I feel like we might get that answer from the Daywalkers.
Oh, yeah.
Because
like,
that's not because
they're intelligent.
Season.
They seem, I mean, if they're the same
first book.
And they have compassion, too.
Vampires, if you
yeah.
will.
They have compassion. They know how to talk to kids, or at least that main guy does.
I'm hoping that the Daywalkers were only at that house because they knew that she was a survivor. Because I'd like to see the Daywalkers involved with Bolivar. Because Bolivar is the only one left now, isn't he? Because Captain Redfern's dead.
Redfern's right. dead.
The lawyer lady's
yeah.
dead.
Yep, yeah. yeah. So Bolivar's yeah. the last the only one. Left. Yeah, so I'm sure we're going to get that in the next couple of episodes. So Trakian wants him to kill the master. They decide to use Jim as bait to get Ikorst to come so they can follow Ikorst to the master. It's a relatively good plan. It's as plans go, it's not bad.
I like how F, though, is like, screw him, I don't want to use
he
him.
He betrayed me.
Face.
No, he literally says, he's like, oh, he betrayed me. Like, way to A, make it super melodramatic, B, make it personal. He betrayed the whole human race, F.
Right. Just use him like the bait he is.
Exactly. Thank you. So they go to Jim, who's frantically trying to get Sylvia to leave town, and Sylvia's like, I know you're lying to me, you dummy. You're playing with your glasses. What's going on? And he's like, honey, please, can we just...
Mr. Frodo, I need you to go, Mr. Frodo.
I am so reasonable right now. I am so reasonable and affable. Can't you listen to me? I'm not going to be able to convince you to do anything because, well, I'm just ultimately subservient. That's just in my personality. and
go visit our cousin Wilfred.
Yeah, Wilfred Brandybuck.
Yeah.
There's a knock on the door, and it's F. Norrin Satrakian, and Jim comes clean about his involvement in everything, and Sylvia is like, why are you continuing to lie to me and buy into what these people are selling? You're an idiot. I'm done with you. Goodbye. And she leaves, and Jim is like, all right, I guess I have to do what I have to do. I'm gonna try to make up for what I have done to the human race, my role in this.
Was I the only one who thought that she was being kind of a bitch?
Well, okay, first of all...
Pardon the language, but
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, don't... That's not a word we use.
I do think that...
she was being unreasonable.
Well, for her, though, you have to think in the moment... Everything she knows about her husband that he's done for her has been an ultimate betrayal. So mm-hmm. I think the way she's reacting versus... The reason we were mad at Nora is because Nora's seen all these things mm-hmm. and then reacted poorly.
It's hard to buy into it, especially if, like her, you're sick and you've been in your house this whole time.
Right. She hasn't seen anything, any sort of proof, and now she's just being told that all of the things her husband did for her or said to her was a total lie. Mm-hmm. So she feels completely... She's not only sick right now, but now she's completely betrayed.
Totally.
So she feels ultimately vulnerable. So as much as we, knowing what we know, are like, why are you being so mean, I think on the same level for that character's motivation, it's like she's just been betrayed on all sorts of levels.
Oh yeah, and not the way that F got betrayed, but like actually betrayed.
Right. Not like Sad Man Bro betrayed.
Right. So we check in with Eldritch, who still has not been turned, and for whatever reason does not seem overly concerned with. Saying, hey, master, why don't you turn me into one of these Strigoi that, you know, can, like, walk and talk and do all the stuff? Because, damn it, my plan's unfolding perfectly. Well, with one small hiccup. And he plays a voicemail from Jim Kent, where he demands $100,000 for Redfern's body, which he totally did dispose of,
mm-hmm.
But is lying about it. And Ikorst is like, there's no way Jim came up with this plan. I'm the people manager. I know how to manage people. This guy is a pawn. This has to be the Jew. This has to be the Yudin. Okay? It couldn't be anyone else. So he goes to Grand Central to confront Jim. And, like, how creepy was it when he got in his face and everything fell away and he had the low voice and he was just like, I could drink you right now and turn you, you mother... Yeah.
It was awesome because it wasn't like Batman gravel voice or anything. Mm-hmm. It was like a
otherworldly.
Yeah, yeah. It was something supernatural about it.
And it's not like glamoring like they do on True Blood, par exemple.
No, not compared to True Blood, ever.
Can we just I'm sorry, I've never seen glamoring in any other vampire story, but
explain,
all the other
because I don't know.
So glamoring is basically it's when using just their power of influence through like a stare, they can make all the sound of the world fall away and they can implant suggestions into a human. So, like, I'm just saying from all the audio falling away, I'm like, what is that? What is that influence?
It felt like it reminded me of the first few episodes when people were hearing the ringing in there, mm-hmm. and they're hearing the master directly. So I feel like that was the master talking directly through Ikehurst to Jim.
Interesting.
And, I mean, even though this is not exactly the same line of knowledge, but the end of the episode was the Daywalker glamoring the people to come towards him, because I feel like those people like run like hell away from somebody who looked like that who just shot.
I think they just didn't know, they didn't have any options really.
Yeah, and they were grateful. He just saved their lives.
Yeah, I mean, usually in a stress situation like that, the person who saved your life is considered good person at this moment.
Right.
Regardless of what they look like.
Right.
Also, yeah, he was. They all had guns. He was in charge of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, bring the kids to me. You bring the kids to him.
True.
It's just what you do. So, Ikehurst leaves Jim in the dust, is like, I know the Jew's here. I can smell him. First of all, racist. Second of all.
Maybe it's because I did think that too, but I'm like, maybe it's because for him particularly, he's known him literally for centuries.
That's how I took it. I actually didn't take it as him talking about.
Okay. All right,
my only thing, though, is when he comes in there, it seemed to be like a light place, and they made such a big deal about, like, in the last couple episodes about vampires not being able to be in the light, mm-hmm. and he's, like, walking in and out of
Grand Central.
Grand
Central. Also know that he's wearing, like, tons and tons of makeup.
That's true.
So, yeah. Like, you don't know, like, if that's all also a game, because he wears gloves, he wears makeup, he wears,
SPF
like, that
SPF 1000.
SPF.
SPF
also,
vampire.
He can move so fast, I wonder if he's able to just run through the city streets. Or, granted, he probably just ran through the subway tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He went through cover of darkness to get there. And is wearing enough bronzer or whatever to make it okay to be just in that big room for just a few moments.
He uses Mac.
Mac for vampires.
Oh, the makeup. I was like an iMac? No.
No.
Was that supposed to be Grand Central, though?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so.
That was so not Grand Central.
It's like mini Grand Central.
Yeah. It's like a teeny one.
It bugged me, but that's just...
A Grand Centro Petito, if you will. Yeah. So he goes down into the subway, and F, thinking he's all slick, starts following him, and then Nora joins up, and we see Satrakian, and what looked like Bolivar on the cover of a newspaper. I imagine it was just another Strigoi, but it looked like Bolivar. Am I wrong?
No, I think it was Bolivar on the cover of the newspaper. They were talking about, the tour.
Oh, okay. Can I just say,
he had to cancel.
Worst executed plan ever. Like, mm-hmm. they're all, like, so far away that he gets away fairly easily.
Yeah, but he knew that they were all coming. Like, he moves so fast that what looks like just a measured walk down the stairs is him actually, like, looking everywhere, seeing everybody. He knew the whole situation. He was all good until he got distracted by his hatred of Abraham crushing his larynx. That's the only time that he was caught unawares, is when he was finally, when he was enjoying something and not being focused on the mission.
Well, yeah. I feel like F should have shot him more than just once.
Oh, 100%. Because he shoots him once and then he keeps running towards him. Shoot him again! Shoot him 1,000 times! In the head! In the body! Anywhere!
And I know he ducked, but it's like, you would think that in that moment when you're shooting, just be trigger happy about this guy, you know?
Right. I mean, granted, you don't want to hit Abraham, but he's old. So, I mean, he's going to die soon anyway.
Man.
So, no.
I mean, if you could take out this guy, I feel like Satrakian if you could take out Ikehurst and Satrakian had to go down for it, I feel like he'd be like, I'm good, thank you for that.
Granted, the plan wasn't to kill Ikehurst, it was to get Ikehurst to lead them to the Masters, so that's why he didn't kill him. And that's why he didn't shoot more than once. I get it. Okay, I get it. But having said that, in the moment, I just was like, shoot him again, shoot him again. But he didn't.
Damn Nazi.
I know. Yeah, and also, like, he and Nora are down in the tunnels, and we hear someone kick a pipe, that one kick a pipe sound effect that's in every tunnel sequence ever. And it's like, well, that's obviously not Eichhorst. Eichhorst would never make a sound. He's precise. You know, when he comes to come at you, he cuts to slice, okay? He doesn't kick pipes.
I totally was
Jim
thinking
Kent
of, like,
kicks pipes.
The Metro scene in Matrix when Satrakian was swinging his sword at him.
Yeah.
Total Matrix.
Yeah, it's like...
yeah, exactly. He's really good at avoiding an 89-year-old man swinging a sword at him. I think anyone could. All right. So he gets away by grabbing onto a train and clamping down on it with his mighty talons.
Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Old person grip.
I guess so. In any case, we've also got Gus and Felix in jail after the events of last week's episode. And Gus is trying to explain to this officer, like, hey, man, we didn't kill a person, okay? We killed a thing. With a frog tongue. Why are you putting yellow powder all over me? Look how naked I am.
I also love how, and I'm just saying this as a woman who has to watch so many shows where women are just inexplicably naked, mm-hmm. where you're like, why is this even happening? And this show, I feel like Gus is inexplicably naked a lot.
When was he naked before?
He was naked, like, in the house.
He's always shirtless.
Oh, he was only shirtless. But it was just like, oh, he's randomly shirtless. Oh, here he's inexplicably naked. You're like,
do you have a problem with
this? No, but I just think it's hilarious because I'm like, this is the first time in, I don't know, in a long time that I've seen a show.
She's
where
still in shock over his abs.
Right.
That too. But I'm just saying it's nice as a woman to have the
that we sexually objectify right. men now. It's,
yeah.
It's
I want
nice
to know
as a woman that we do that.
The significance of his tattoo.
Right. The
there was a Jewish star. Yeah, Star of David on it.
Maybe
yeah.
that's why they haven't been explicitly
I think he had a
naked.
Bunch. I think it was like he had one and then like a couple smaller ones
well,
around
Well, the
it.
Other ones were five-pointed stars. So I'm wondering what the significance of that tattoo is.
Maybe
if
was
someone
in
knows,
love with
tweet it at
woman.
Us. Maybe. But then why would he have all the five-pointed stars? I don't get it. So in any case, he gets thrown in a cell with Felix, who is in bad shape and is going to turn any second now.
Poor Tufo.
Poor Tufo
is sick.
He is sick, and he is going to die. And some mean dude didn't want him to sit on a bench, so Gus punched him in the face. Because that's what you do in prison, okay?
Yeah, fool.
Yeah. So Neva, she essentially kidnapped the Lust kids. She kidnapped
for
them.
For good reason.
But she kidnapped them.
I'm
okay?
with Neva.
She calls Mr. Lust, and she's like, yeah, the kids are at my place. I took your kids. And he's like, bring them home. And she's like, no, that's kidnapping. Okay?
That's if their parent saving. Is going to eat the kids, it's okay.
Fine. But it is, can we at least admit it's kidnapping?
It is kidnapping.
Yeah.
It's kidnapping.
It's protective kidnapping.
I wouldn't call it kidnapping.
If you brought it to Child Protective Services, I think they'd be cool with it.
Okay, fine. So, in any case, her daughter is like, listen, we need to get these kids back to their house because you kidnapped them, Mom, so I'm taking them. And she's like, no. She's like, I'm a nurse. It's fine. I'll take care of her. And we're like, don't do it. But she does anyway. Neva goes with them. And they get to the house, and the kids immediately run inside because they don't think anything's
Yay!
Wrong. Because they're kids.
Yay,
and they're happy to
the
get
floor.
Inside and play Xbox
Blood.
And eat the cereal that their mom bought.
Oof. Blood-curdling screams.
Yeah, mm-hmm. blood-curdling scream from the daughter who discovers her father's weird, not-quite-dead body in mid-change, okay, middle of turning. And it's like a bummer that the chief only got one episode
on
the show.
I thought the character was going to be important.
More significant. Yeah. In any case, Mama comes out and they're like, oh, snap. And then Joan, she tries to bite one of her kids and Neva's daughter, like, grabs her tongue and throws her.
Yeah, and, like, punches
it. I'm like, get it, girl.
Awesome.
Look at you. But in the process, did get nicked by the tongue and definitely got a worm in her. And we saw the moment. And we're like, she's dead. So they hide in the wine cellar, and it looks like all is gone, all is lost, until Joan and her buddy both get blasted in the head
with silver stakes.
Well, can we talk about the fact that one of them picked up a bat?
Yeah,
Like,
he used tools.
I've never, that's the first time we've seen a non-Oikos Trogoi pick up any kind of tool.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Right?
It's important to point out.
And it also goes to play with, this is also involved with one of the survivors, mm-hmm. who is special in some way, and we don't know
that.
But
it was
yet.
Not Joan who picked it up, it was mm-hmm. the other guy.
I know, yeah. but she could have controlled him, is what I'm saying. You never know.
Okay. But
I
she do didn't mention, turn him.
True that. Hmm. I do want to mention, well, we don't know that technically, because he recognized him as a security guard, so
right.
maybe. Yeah. I do want to mention the whole chase scene. This still scene kind of vaguely reminded me of 13 Ghosts, but with all the glass and all the reflections and things, mm-hmm. but when we see the reflection, you see her vibrating in the
yes,
mirror.
Yes, that was an awesome effect.
Really, really cool. So we get this dude who's like full on Nosferatu. He's got Nosferatu teeth, and he is like super sweet and gentle with these kids.
Am I the only one that thought of Deadpool?
Slightly, yeah.
When he came out, he's black, but there's a little bit of red in there. Mm-hmm. He's got the really ugly face.
Well, he got this, like, zero slash symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I have to imagine is very significant. Maybe it's the sign of whoever they belong to, if they have, like, a good master or something. But in any case, they're an elite kill squad. And they check the kids. The kids are okay. Neva's okay. And you see the daughter like hiding her hand, and then
no,
finally
she's not hiding it. She's
well,
just
she no,
holding it.
She was hiding it.
Really?
Yeah, she like hid it, and then she was kind of like stroking it. We knew something bad was gonna happen. She finally comes forward, and he's like,
good.
Okay, everyone can go. Not you. Blap! Right
Whoa.
In the head.
I was like, what?
Neva screams. He's like. Shut up. That's not what he says.
She was corrupted.
But he basically is like, yeah, I'm a nice guy to the people who haven't been turned yet. Oh, you're
this
corrupted.
Was,
bam!
We don't know if he's a nice guy yet, though, too.
Well, this was the moment that blew my mind, because I've read the first book, and there are no daywalkers in the first book. So I'm like... Oh, snap, this is new, and what is this? And I wanted to know more about it. But I will say, if these guys... So we know these guys are able to be sentient vampire beings. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine in much the same way Ikors is. So why... Like, who... How do you achieve that? And why can't they stop certain people from, like, from turning into non-sentient vampire
beings? Here's my thought. I think it's the master's decision. It is easier to let a virus spread if these things are mindless with thirst. Mm-hmm. If they're mindlessly thinking about draining people and spreading this virus. He only needs one, Eichhorst, who has a brain who can do the things that he cannot. Versus this other master, potentially, needs Strigoi who can think, who can reason, who can hunt these things down with a level of intelligence.
I want to ask you one thing, though. Do you really think he saved them, or do you think he only killed that one girl because she was infected by another master's strain, and he wants to infect them with his strain?
I think he saved them. I think it's less about infecting more people and more about killing off this strain. What do you think, Zach?
I agree. I think that he's... I don't think he's out to, like, infect them himself. Mm-hmm. But I'm still going on this theory that any of the Strigoi could evolve to a master level in if XYZ that we don't know about. So I'm thinking that Ikors could potentially become a master.
We got to use a moonstone on him.
But if that's why the master wouldn't want... I like the idea... Yeah, I'm just ignoring it. I like the idea that the master makes a choice. I think that's smart. But if he picks Ikors, if he turns too many smart ones, they could evolve into competing
masters.
It's
a calculated risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe the masters have to be in balance, and and the Deadpool guy is the one keeping that balance.
What do you think, Jackie?
The problem is the theory that I have on who these people are and where they come from and what they do
is spoilery.
So I guess I should say, like, direct message me on Twitter if you want to know what it is.
Right. Okay.
Because I don't want to. I do have a theory, and then looking at, I'll give a little bit of a hint. Looking at the number of them, I have a theory as to who they are now that I'm thinking. I didn't have it until
just
I came
now.
Into here. Yeah.
Okay.
And now that I'm hearing all the discussions, I'm like, oh, now I think I know what this might be.
And also, if anyone's really, really pissed that I keep calling them daywalkers when they obviously wear all black so that, because they can't be out in the day, I'm only doing it because they remind me of Blade. Steven.
I kind of have a feeling that the Masters are behind more with the world as we know it than we think. Because I feel like it's tying in World War II so heavily. And if you think about it, maybe the World War was another master manipulating to attack Germany or to get rid of the master that's in Germany, or that master was trying to use other people to invade outward. I don't know. Right now, I feel like in the present day, this master is encroaching on territory where he's not supposed to be. And he was supposed to be in Germany, and now he's in somewhere where another master is, and this is another like act of war, and this is like another war beginning that's like an underworld war.
Very interesting.
He did call it a new Reich, which then gets quashed. He's like, well, I can't do it there again. They're just I've got Russia on one side, and it's like, that's an unwinnable battle. I gotta go to New York, where dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just think of past wars of invasions and things like that, and just view them on another scale of, what if it's a master manipulating people to go to war so he can take out the other master and gain more territory?
It's entirely possible. I like all of these theories. All right. I think we've covered just about everything. I think it's time for predictions.
Oh, I thought we just did predictions.
I guess we did. All right, so, yeah.
She's playing us off.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited about next week.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Looks
and
like...
I
don't want to spoil anything if people find the scenes from next week spoilery, but I have to imagine the action's just going to get ratcheted up even further.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Wilson, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And also here at AfterBuzz on The Leftovers, MasterChef with Mr. Stephen Lemieux,
woo,
and a bunch of new stuff coming up soon in the fall.
Yeah, you're going to be doing Doctor Who with
me,
aren't you?
I won't be for the premiere, although you might get a random phone call.
Okay, great.
Might be inebriated.
All right, Jackie.
I'm at 123Jackie_B on Twitter, at 123JackieB, all one word, on Instagram, and Jackie is spelled JACQUE.
All right, and Steven.
You can find me in the booth most of the time here and on Twitter, at Steven Lemieux. It's right here. I'm trying to not be... There we go. Pointing to the name right there. At Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIUX. We're doing MasterChef with That Zach Wilson. Or Graceland, 3 episodes left, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find all my videos for SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd on YouTube. And I'm here doing Doctor Who, the Nick, Ray Donovan, Under the Dome, bunch of stuff.
I want to say one thing, Matt.
Yeah.
We need a new challenge. We've hit our old challenge.
That's true.
What's our new iTunes challenge?
How many episodes do we have left?
This is like episode 7, so we got 6 episodes left. If we can get to 100 by the season finale.
Chorus line.
Chorus line, whole group dance.
All whole group dance,
way
chorus line.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Bite you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.